Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
To be honest with you, I just heard it on the radio. I heard Shope and the Bulldog talking about it, so that's about all I know.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Jason Pominville, a long time ago, I don't know what it was about, what he heard from us.
I used to know. I'm sure you did too. There was a time maybe 5 years ago, Joe could have played that open, and I would have known what he was referring to. But it's gone now. Probably never to return.
It's not that robes are in. He hasn't heard that
on
this show, I think.
No. What? I'll tell you, I've learned. Listen, I am proudly Team Robe, and Leo is really he's the king of robes.
He's the robe spear of the operation.
Yes, but here's the thing about him. If he's gone entire days just in the robe, okay, that's for one thing. But if his mother or I ask him or tell him, like, dude, come on. Put on some clothes. He goes fully dressed, button-down shirt, tucked into pants, Doc Marten boots. Like, he's dressed to go. He came downstairs this morning fully dressed and sat down at the dining room table to do schoolwork like he was going to school. Like, there's no sweatpant option for him. Like, he is robe or I'm going out, even though he's not going anywhere.
Dress for the job you want.
I guess, yeah.
Well, more complexity to the robe issue. Now, we're already in a very complex conversation here. How do you figure out what the Sabres' greatest goal is? Is it pointless to try to parse between Pominville and Brad May and Drury and Plant and maybe others? Is it just pointless? Or can you do it? Does the quality of the goal matter? Is it worth more if it's a game winner? Is it worth more if it wins a series? Is it worth more if it's an overtime? Is it worth less if it wins the game but you lose the series? Because it's not going to be remembered as much. I mean, I don't know. This is my kind of puzzle in that it's probably not solvable. Those are the ones I like. 803-0550 is the number to weigh in. Here's Joe with us. Hi, Joe.
Hey, gentlemen, how are you this afternoon?
All right.
Hey, Joe, how you holding up, bud?
I'm good, thank you. Considering all the components that go into the greatest goal of all time, one thing I thought that might tip the scales in favor of Brad May would be, and you have to consider him prophetically kissing the blade of his stick on that shift.
That he sort of, it was an omen.
Yeah, exactly. I think that has to be factored into the equation.
All right. Interesting. I got enough to worry about, but now I'll worry about this. Thank you, Joe.
Called his shot, so to speak.
Kind of.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. Yep.
I always would kiss my stick every shift, right. So just in case.
Do we know? See, here's something that came to mind. I'm really glad that the caller brought that up, because we just watched last week the 4-overtime marathon against New Jersey. And May, it's pointed out on that broadcast, like, May didn't play a lot in for pockets of that game. And then when he got on the ice, he was like a hellion when he got out there. And as I'm watching him run around and just run people and wreak havoc like Brad May could, I thought, is there any point here where he kisses his stick but it's not on camera? because he did it last year and right. It worked. So is he lining up for a faceoff with Scott Stevens on his right and kissing the blade of his stick, hoping to replicate the magic he had against the Bruins? But we just don't know it because he never scored.
Shouldn't he have done that? Why would he not do that?
I thought of it because I thought like I would almost expect that he did.
Yeah, like how do you score that goal after kissing your stick and never do it again?
Right. So, you know, that sort of, to me, takes away, well, could if we would know whether or not he actually does that in the New Jersey game and then does not score, that like takes a little bit off of the kissing of the stick in the first place.
See, every single one of these things seems to get turned on its head.
Yep.
That's good, but Alfredson wasn't a good defenseman or something. Like, it's not as good, but I'll say this about the Ottawa series, the Pominville goal, and the Brad May goal, but especially the Pominville goal. So it's not Game 7. Is it better if it's Game 7? Probably. The most famous ones are Game 7.
Yeah.
It's Game 5. But they were living on the wire in that series. The entire series was on the wire. Like, they were never comfortable. They were probably outplayed in every game. Mm-hmm. And if they do lose that game, are they much better than 50-50 to win the series? Like, probably, but maybe not a lot better.
Right.
Coming home for six, all the pressure. I remember how I felt after Game 4, which was like, oh, no.
Right.
Just, you know,
well, sure, yeah.
Panicking.
I mean, even think about how I remember sitting with you.
In a parking lot.
What's the name of the golf course out by the airport? My buddy Jim Furlong used to be
Diamond Hawk?
The pro there. Yes. We did a show there before. It was the Friday before Game 5 in 07 against Ottawa. And I remember repeatedly saying, like, look, it's bad. But look, it's 3-1. They get this game. You're going to go back up there, and all the pressure is on them. Well, the year before, overtime of Game 5 in Ottawa, the same thing would have happened to Buffalo. You would have gotten really tense really fast. And I don't know if the team would have, but I know we would have. No question about that. We were freaking out after they lost Game 4.
Yeah.
Like, fans were, like, that was a different parking lot. That was a car dealership
yes.
on Sheridan Drive
it was.
That we did, and it was also
it's
a Friday.
Always a parking lot.
Yeah. We used to do a lot of parking lot gigs. And I remember being upset, not with you, but
no,
just
I
the
was
show,
yes.
because everyone was just, oh, oh, and like, they're up 3-1.
They're
we're
up
okay.
3-1, but you knew they were not
yeah.
the better team.
No, I know, right.
They just had a better goalie. They were a good team that had a better goalie. They were a very good team
yeah.
going up against another very good team. But they were not like they were not proving to be better than Ottawa. They were just winning.
Yeah.
So, I mean, think of the games. It's the 7-6 miracle. Like, that game is incredible for what it is. It's the game two, they're outshot like 2-1 and win.
Yeah, game two is like Miller's maybe best performance.
Yeah. Game three is that flutter ball from Dumont. Like, I'm not trying to knock them. I mean, that team mm-hmm. is my favorite team ever. It's just like, you know, they could have lost. Like, the Pominville
yeah.
goal. The Pominville goal is, I'm only saying it does not, in my opinion, it should not be discounted for the fact that the series wasn't closer. Because it was very close.
Uh-huh.
And they easily could have lost. You know, had they were even shorthanded when he scored. Like, they could have lost that game
yeah.
in a minute.
I think the fact that they're shorthanded enhances the case. For the goal,
it's better,
you know, because it's in a moment where it's McKee in the box, right? And not only is someone in the penalty box, but one of your best penalty killers and expert shot blockers in the penalty. Oh God, here we go! Oh my God! Oh my God! And instead, like, Pominville makes this great heady play. The caller earlier talking about how Alfredson's not a defenseman or just wasn't a good defensive player. I mean, that's insane to me. I think he's a fantastic all-around hockey player. But yes, he's not a defenseman. That's a part of the reason why it's such a good play, because Pominville recognizes he's got a forward there, and like, you're taught from the time you're 12, if you are a forward and you've got a forward playing defense on the power play, attack that guy. Just go at him, because he's not used to skating backwards and making those plays.
And I love, and I wrote this, I included this in the column today, I love what he told us, which was years later, Is it maybe like 2 years later, but it was well after the play had happened. Is there anything about that play that you're not asked about or that you think most people don't know? And he said, yes. I was not at the end of my shift. And maybe he was on with other players who were. Mm-hmm. So he thought they were assuming he would go off. He would dump the puck down and go off. And like that's how it started. So I've never like really focused on that, watched this back and focused on that. But I remember I was so happy that we asked him, I'm thinking, could there possibly be something we don't know about it? And he's like, yeah, there is. And yep. I just love that that happened that way.
Well, I've every time we've gotten really deep on this goal, I've made the same point. And it's like, you know, I remember I was watching this by myself in bed upstairs in our house. We had a 32-inch old, you know, old-style TV on a dresser in our bedroom. And my wife was at work, and so I was getting tired, and so I went up there and I had it on there, and I'm in bed. I've got like a few pillows behind my back, so I'm sort of propped up like you would if you were reading, and I'm watching the game, and that play begins, and my posture never changes. I mean, I never sit up like something amazing is about to happen. I'm just sort of sitting back and watching and like, okay, he's not just dumping it in. Oh, cool. He's going to go down there, maybe kill some time. Oh, my God, he's going to the net. He scored. And it's like, oh, my God. It just kind of came out of nowhere. You're not expecting it. That also enhances the goal in some way to me. Because, like, Brad May is clearly trying to make a play where he's going to try to score.
I like that, though.
And he does a great job. And he succeeds. He executes and like, makes Ray Bourque look ridiculous. But Pominville is just and if you watch the ice level replay from behind the Ottawa net, the Sabre bench is like me. They're not in bed, but they are sitting there, and no one is leaning forward. No one is on their feet. No one is expecting a play that could decide a game or a series. And then suddenly it happens, and they all erupt at once.
Baron might have had pillows, though.
Maybe.
He was probably comfortable over there. But yes, but I like the other way, though. Here we are again. Like, I like that. I like all of that. I love about hockey the chance to be ready to brace for the goal.
Yeah.
And that's what you have in the other one. Like, I love that. That one split second where you're like sort of either if it's your team, you're like excited or you're worried.
Yep.
Especially in a playoff overtime, you know, that's good too. But yeah, I mean, back and forth we go.
Yeah, they both work.
They both work. Let's go to Paul on WGR. Hi, Paul.
Hi. Thank you so much for this conversation, and I love the debate. I'm driving now. I'm hands-free, but I'm 57 years old now, and I would love not just for the greatest Sabres goal of all time, but it'd be great if they could put together a video of maybe like the top 10, because like you're saying, there's so many different criteria. I'm just two things came to mind as I was driving and I'm listening to the debate.
Mm-hmm.
Was as a kid, I don't remember the game, but you know, how many times as a kid when we're growing up and young, you know, Gilbert Perreault takes the puck behind his net, takes through the whole other team with his hair flying and scores a goal. You know, and then the game where Danny Gare and Rick Martin. Like, I think Danny Gare needed two or three goals for the hat trick to get 50. Rick Martin needed one. I just remember that game, whoever it was, you know, just how exciting Danny Gare ended up getting the 50. I think the whole game, I just, you know, Rick Martin going down the wing, blasting shots from everywhere, trying to get 50. And I don't even remember if he did or not, but that game of Danny Gare getting his 50th goal, that whole game was exciting, and Gilbert Perreault. So, sister, I'd love to have you guys continue this and, you know, a top 10 greatest goals and, you know, do something with video to show these because there's so many different scenarios for why a goal was great that I love the conversation.
Thank you. I'll tell you what, the way it's looking, we might do the top 100, one a day.
Yeah, right.
I might, maybe this weekend, right. Let me see. I don't know.
The tough thing about some of what the caller's referencing, which is older, is that a lot of those games are lost. And so you've got some highlights of the French Connection and Danny, but you do not have, I don't think you've got entire games. If you did, those games would be airing somewhere, I think, eventually. So that's problematic, I think, for that. you know, but sure. I mean, there's no doubt aesthetically, Gilbert probably scored 50 goals that were as beautiful as anything we're describing Brad May or Jason Pomeville did in prominent places in the playoffs, but we just don't have them to go look through.
Sadly. Yeah, it's just kind of notable that he's nowhere near the conversation about the greatest Sabre goal.
Yeah.
Like, he's just nowhere near it. What do you even have? I mean, he scored playoff goals. They won some of those series. I don't know if there was an overtime goal. I don't think there is. His last or his 500th goal might be like his most prominent goal because that was a big occasion. They pick him up, put him on their shoulders, and like that was a big deal. You know, he's undeniably great. He's the Sabre, at least without Hasek, before Hasek. At worst, he's second all time. It's just like there's no goal that I know of that really sort of defines him. I watched back. Paul is talking about watching these goals. I mean, pretty much YouTube is going to have all of it. You might have to poke around. It's not maybe going to be on one thing, but most of these goals are there. I watched the game that they lost to the Islanders in 80 to lose that series. I think it's game 6 on Long Island. And he scores the first two goals of that game, I think. And it's great. Like, wow, I didn't realize they were up in this game. And Gilbert had both of them. You know, they lose. That's the Lindy Ruff, Billy Smith game. I think they lose that series. It was a very good team. But, like, there's just, right? I mean, what is the pick for Perreault? There really isn't an easy one.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I think the caller described what we remember, and I'm 99% sure that that happened lots of times, that he picked up the puck behind the net and skated through everyone, and his hair was flying, and he had his mouth open, and he had this look about him. And, I mean, I'll never forget that. But I don't know which one, you know, whether it was against the Kansas City Scouts or against the Detroit Red Wings or, I mean, I just have no idea.
Yeah, that's right. Eichel has goals of that caliber.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's got a
ball already.
And, you know, compared to Perreault when it comes to, like, importance, I mean, Eichel, holy cow, the poor guy. Perreault is, right. Perreault's like, who is the all-time, I should have a name at the tip of my tongue. You know, Messier.
Perreault is Messier compared to Eichel at this point.
Right.
Sure.
Like, just on the importance scale, too bad.
Yeah.
But that's the deal. We'll take a break for sports. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, and we'll talk some more about how to figure out what the number one goal is, if you can even do it. This is WGR.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Here comes, kept in by Hesh. Penalty coming up to Philadelphia.
Look, the B-list goals are many.
This goal right there is enhanced by the fact that one of my favorite songs by one of my favorite bands is playing in the background. Is it like just I want to elevate this goal now because of the War on Drugs playing in the background. That's not how we should do this. I'm just saying, like, I'm a little emotional right now.
That was a thrilling moment. I was in the building for most of these 06-07 playoff games. the Dumont goal in game three against Ottawa is up there with this one. And it's still the only time ever that my wife has told me to put her down would be after the Dumont goal. I just turned to my right and lifted her up and like screamed, like, put me down. And she was happy. Yeah. But that's only happened once.
I got that goal that you just heard there. That's game one, double OT Briere against Philly in 06. I got, finger quotes, kicked out of the house, end finger quotes, before that goal was scored because of how, you know, the boys are, I did this the other day and I screwed it up, 4-2, right? Yeah. And so everyone is asleep, including her. And maybe it's Campbell blasting Umberger because that's the first overtime, I think, that happens in, right? And that just – I might have blew the lid off the living room at that point, right? I mean, I probably freaked out. And I now that I'm saying I could really embellish this, I don't remember if she yelled at me as much as I realized I probably shouldn't be here. She's got to work. The kids are trying to sleep, and I'm screaming about Brian Campbell drilling Umberger. So I think what I did is I wrote out the rest of that overtime, and during the intermission, drove downtown to a place where my buddies Jackdaw were playing, and walked in just as the second overtime was starting, and we watched that, and then partied all night with them playing, and it was a great night. But I left my house because I was afraid I was going to, you know, upset everyone because I was so wound up.
Well, that's the kind of guy you are.
Sure.
You're willing to leave.
I'm also giving myself credit here for having the awareness to do that without being yelled at, and I'm not positive that I did that. That might be just how I want to remember it.
Yeah. What's the difference, though?
I mean, the truth is what you make it.
Yeah. Right. Who's going to dispute it? Exactly. Yeah. It's like disputing what Henry Hudson looked like. You might as well. There's no known picture of Henry Hudson, the explorer whose name is on the Hudson River, Hudson Bay.
I'm telling you, there's no known picture.
Well, he sounds like
he had a mustache.
He sounds like it?
Oh, yeah. Henry Hudson, 100%. The explorer, he had a mustache.
Yeah. There's a picture of him that's used, but somebody just drew it up. Like, it's not him.
Yeah.
And that worked. Shouldn't that work? I mean, still. Yeah, that's not what he really looked like, but let's just say it is. Doesn't seem to work like that anymore, but it did work in the case of Henry Hudson.
That's kind of what 1500s. I'm doing right now. I'm creating for this tournament that me and my buddies are doing. We're creating old Sabres, and I'm finding, because I only have to create a couple because there's actually a lot of alumni already in the game, but like I got to create Rene Robert, or I got to create like Rick Martin, or... lesser known guys like Andre Savard is a guy that's going to be in this.
There's a wispy mustache
like,
for you.
I don't have to worry about what Andre Savard looks like because nobody that I'm friends with knows what Andre Savard looks
except
like.
Except for me.
So I don't have to put the effort in on that.
Except for Bulldog and me.
He had the goofy, odd shaped Cooper helmet.
Yep. Wispy mustache.
Be careful there.
I went with the Jofa. Is that close? It's close enough.
Not really. No,
not really at all. No.
You don't have to care. That's fine. You don't have to try. Your point is, I don't care what he looks like. That's the point.
Right.
Yep.
So, okay. Clearly you don't.
I'm probably not going to play this game, so you're not going to get criticized for having the wrong gear on Andre Savard.
He's not going to have the right gear.
Is this a game where they have the right gear?
No, they don't have a lot of old schools. You can get like an old wooden Sherwood stick or like a Jofa helmet.
The picture of Andre Savard is on his 78 Topps card. That's the picture of Andre Savard. And that also is a good picture for what color the Sabres jerseys really were and how in the early 80s they went to a different blue. It's never mentioned. They always have like the old blue, but there were different old blues. The later you go, the darker it gets. So Savard, the 78 top Savard's like his full body and you see his face and the helmet and the jersey. It's all good. First time I ever talked about him. Never knew him. Let's go to Alex next. Hi, Alex.
Hey, gentlemen, thank you for taking my call today.
Thanks for waiting.
Thank you for calling. It took us
so long to get you on.
Hey, my pleasure. It's all good. My favorite goal, it may not register a top 10, but just it's so memorable for me just as a kid and watching. It was Curtis Brown's game 4 overtime winner against Philadelphia in the first round in 01. And I just remember Brown going left side along the boards there. He gets right past, it was a Desjardins at the time, and Socorro wraps around the net and just flips it in there. And then the call from Rick Jeanneret makes it all better, too, makes that goal one of my favorites.
I'd listen to that. I don't know that call. I was there. I don't know the call.
Yeah. I wasn't there. I don't remember the call, but you did a great job here. I'm not sure about the names of the players he beat or anything, but
I bet they're right. I bet Desjardins right.
Yep, right. Yep. But it, looping around, coming out, he's scoring, and then the celebration, he runs back up the left wall, and the mob sort of gets there, and Hasek charges out from the net to try to greet him and like sort of slides past the whole pile.
Yeah, Brown just blows by him. Yeah.
It's just a great, it's like, whoops, sorry, Dom. It's a great moment.
Alex, you want to hear that? Do we have that?
I have it. It's not the best quality, but I do have it here.
From Desjardins, and he does. Here's Brown swinging out in front, took the shot, score!
It's pretty good.
That confirms everything the caller and I said.
Yeah, good job, Alex. And Bulldog.
Perfect. Right.
Do you wear a robe, Alex? You sound a lot like Bulldog. Do you wear a robe around the house or what?
Only when I smoke a bubble pipe.
All right. We'll continue this conversation another time. Thank you, Alex. Čechmánek is the goalie. Who's the coach of the Flyers?
Ooh, Bill Barber.
Bill Barber is right.
I'm hot today.
It's definitely right. He won the Jack Adams.
I'm not drinking.
It's right. I'm
locked in.
It is totally. Well, let's keep going. Let's go until 7 o'clock.
What?
Let's do that. Here is Bill next. Hello, Bill.
How you doing, guys?
Good.
Great, Bill.
Great, great. How about the overtime 1974-75 game? It was the first. It was our first playoff win. An overtime goal by Rene Robert. I believe it was against the Boston Bruins. I believe, or else Montreal, one or the other. But it was Game 7 overtime, it was our first playoff win in the history of the Sabres. First playoff game.
All right, let us help you on this, Bill. I think the goal you want is 73. In the Forum, and it makes the series 3-2 for Montreal, and that's the thank you Sabres year.
Right. They come back home, lose game 6, and as game 6 is winding down, you get the thank you Sabres chant. Yes, that's exactly what it is.
That's Robert. That's the famous. And there was that record, McDaniel.
Mm-hmm.
What's her first name? Linda? Five letters.
Donna. Donna McDaniel.
Five letters. Donna McDaniel.
I have that 45. The B-side is Stan Roberts narrating like highlights from the year. It's great.
It's Robert's goal and also the Danny Gare going for 50 goal one that the other caller brought up. Like, that's on one side.
Yep.
Loose scoring a shorthanded goal is on there, I think.
I was just going to say, yes, that's right. Yep, you've got it.
On the road, two men down or something? Not two men down. He scored a shorthanded goal on the road at some point. That's mentioned. Why?
Yeah, it set a franchise or league. It set some kind of a record.
Okay.
For shorthanded goals in a single season, I think. It's Ted Darling on the call. It's great.
By the way, Bill,
I'll dig it out.
Bill Barber for 2001 is correct, but he was on an interim basis taking over for somebody in December.
Terry Murray.
No. Former Sabre.
Craig Ramsey.
Oof.
Yeah, that's conveniently filed away in my memory that Craig Ramsey was the coach of the Flyers. It's like Thurman playing for Miami.
Right.
Like, shouldn't he have said no? Come on. Shouldn't he have said no? Would you like to be a head coach in the NHL here in Philadelphia? No. I would not like that. I'd rather take my chances getting a team that I don't hate. Maybe they'll call me. I'd rather not do it. I'd rather be an assistant than have to take this job. That's what he should have done, Ramsey. Come on, you agree.
Easy, easy for you to say.
You agree.
What are you eating, Joe? I'm having too good a day to agree with that. No, I'm not going to agree with that.
Fine.
I'm eating salad.
Salad? Why?
Yeah, it's dinner. It's dinner tonight.
You couldn't get anything else? You couldn't get anything good?
I'm trying to eat a little healthier. Some chicken in there. Yesterday I had zucchini noodles with a shrimp on top.
Okay. Are you doing that then?
Yeah, a little bit.
You're doing this?
Not entirely. Like,
this is my chance to get healthy.
Yeah, I went the other way. Now, I didn't stick to it completely, but it was restaurant week last week, so there's some good deals out there for takeout. But
that is true.
But for the most part, yeah, I'm taking this more as known. I'm not just going to drink all day, which I could have done. I was gone for 2 weeks. But no, right. I was going a little bit of a health kick.
So did you lose weight?
A little bit. Not a whole lot.
A little bit?
Yeah, a little bit.
What do you mean a little bit?
I'm not a very big guy, so I can't just like knock off.
Who says a little bit?
Like a couple pounds.
Okay.
I can't just not. I'm not that big to begin with, so it's tough to do that.
Last night, again, the chips. Uh-huh. Midnight. Yeah. Midnight.
Yeah.
I wrote the column. I'm like firing. I got to write this right now. 0506 Sabres. Tony Ludman calling in, talking heavy metal. Gostad blasting Tony Romo in a commercial break. Everything. Boom, 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 boom. I can't go to sleep after that.
Right.
So, chips. Then I was hungry. Sorry.
Hmm.
I did a smart thing, though, about it. As far as my weight goes and tracking this, I did not weigh myself today.
Hey, good plan.
That's what you got to do.
Yeah,
just don't look.
Yeah.
We'll try again tonight to not do that. My 12th grade English teacher, who would never listen to this show, right? I don't think he was ever a sports guy. Mr. Beast, Marlo Beast, what a cool guy. He would say, Michael, try equals fail. If you tell me you're going to try to do something, I know you're going to fail. I know you're not going to do it. Because you would never, if you were actually going to do it, say, I tried. No, you would tell me that you did it. That's what he would say. So there's no try, right? Isn't that from a movie?
I'm going to try not to eat potato chips at midnight tonight.
I think that's
Yoda.
Han Solo. No.
Who is it? Is it not? Is it Yoda?
It's Yoda. I was kidding.
I don't know. It's not. I'm not sure it's wrong. So.
Yeah, no.
Han Solo said, "Never show me the odds," which is the worst thing you could ever say. Always look at the odds. Always. Right? Come on. Look at the situation we're in. All you had to do was look at it. All you had to do was like listen to people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It was avoidable. All right. Well, let's take a break because this just turned.
Yeah, right. I'm about to start talking about the Georgia governor.
Governor. Oh, we didn't know this. You could. Sports Talk in Buffalo knew it a month ago.
Right.
I mean, how do you not know that? How can you actually say that out loud?
Should state cops in Georgia be allowed to go remove him from office? 803-0550. Like, that's my question of the day.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Line up, but we have to take a break first. And it may last a long time. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog. Oh, you've got a spot.
Oh, yes, I certainly do.
Are you okay to do it now, or do you want some time first?
Hang on, let me think about it. No, I'm fine. Let me get you some information here about taking care of your lawn from my friends at Mr. Lawn Care. They're pros. I've been through this. I've tried. I don't have a huge yard or anything, which is even more embarrassing. So you think it would be easy to take care of, but like brown spots, weeds, it's embarrassing. Mr. Lawn Care is where you want to be if you want to have a nice, plush, green, weed-free lawn. Mr. Lawn Care, locally owned experts. Have them restore your lawn this season. Stop trying to do it yourself and let the lawn care specialists at Mr. Lawn Care make you and your lawn look fantastic this year. They've got a great offer right now at Mr. Lawn Care to get you started. If you invest in 4 lawn treatments, they'll kick in another one for free. You heard me right. Buy 4 lawn care treatments. Get one more for free only from Mr. Lawn Care. Stop trying to do it yourself and tying up precious weekends and other free time instead of doing something else that you might actually enjoy. Have Mr. Lawn Care take care of your lawn, and when they do, I'll bet you're going to love your lawn again. Call and ask about their buy four, get one more for free offer right now. Restrictions apply. You can find Mr. Lawn Care on Facebook and inbox them, or call 683-LAWN today. That's 683-LAWN for Mr. Lawn Care.
And cleared out to center ice to Pominville. Pominville into Ottawa territory. Pominville goes around Albertson, cuts in front, scores! Jason Pominville, shorthanded. Oh, now do you believe? Now do you believe?
Well, it's a candidate, at least, for the Sabres' greatest goal. We will talk more about this every day for the rest of our lives. No, well, you know, we have some time, I think, to, like we were saying about everything, we have some time to work it out. For the rest of today's show, some football, Brandon Bean's comments, how the Stephon Diggs trade came to be. Also, Erie County Executive Mark Poloncarz with the big update. Updates. Real information. That's ahead. Quick football question, though, for you guys, to, like me, fantasy enthusiasts. Who would you rather have, as we talk right now, April 2nd, assume there is a season, who would you rather have on your roster? Tyrod Taylor or Justin Herbert?
Herbert, easy.
Easy?
Yeah.
I'd go Herbert, too.
You feel like they're the likeliest team, the Chargers are the likeliest team to get him? Or maybe Miami. Miami, Armando is big on this idea that they like him a lot. So
yeah, I know. Yeah.
Chargers move up to 3, pick Tua, and then Herbert to Miami. Something like that.
Yeah, that could work. And I'm not super bullish on Herbert, really. But I think it just, you never know. And I think you know what the ceiling is with Tyrod. So I think I would want to try to get something that is going to exceed that. Sort of the same logic that had us, well, had me anyway, wanting them to, the Bills to move on from Tyrod when they did. Just like, I know what this is. It's good, but I want to try to be better. And, you know, good luck getting better, but that's what I'm going to do.
If you were to tell me they're both playing entire seasons, I'm probably picking Tyrod because he's got the rushing added to it.
Right, of course we don't know that.
Even when he is on the Bills and he's not like a great quarterback or anything for them, but he's a great fantasy quarterback because of the rushing that he's adding on top of it. So if you're telling me he plays a whole season, I'm probably picking Tyrod, but what is he's the leading candidate to start for the Chargers, but he's the leading candidate to start the whole season. I cannot see him being it just being him and some backup.
It might go the way it went for him in Cleveland.
Right.
But I do think they're better than that. So if they win games early, and they even if they do draft someone, sure, but he starts, then maybe he lasts. What if it's 10 points for interceptions instead of like one? What if it's minus 10?
It's minus 10 for
do you take Tyrod over any quarterback in the league?
Yeah, especially a rookie. Yeah, give me Tyrod.
Maybe, okay. Absolutely.
Yeah. He's best quarterback in the league then.
Right. Let's talk Rachel's. So, of course, things are super weird and different. Rachel's is still going, and if you miss, like I do, their smells and the food and the whole Rachel's vibe, you can go to rachelsgrill.com, order or download the Rachel's app and place a delivery or pickup order. 25% off for healthcare workers and first responders as well. Rachel's is super yummy. You feel great about it. Grilled steak, grilled chicken, pitas, wraps, rice bowls, romaine lettuce, all the veggies. Love the olives, love the banana peppers, love the pepperoncinis. So good. The feta, the Greek dressing, all of it is a win at Rachel's. So again, you can order through their app or go to rachelsgrill.com, pick up or delivery. You know, it's happening to a lot of us. We're looking at the pantry and it's like the same boxes and cans and, you know, you need some freshness. So restaurants are there for you. Rachel's are there for you. I love my Rachel's. You'll love your Rachel's too. Try Rachel's pickup or free delivery today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.